Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
The people that sold him into slavery, he said, look, I don't know why it happened, but I'm going to continue to bless God because God has put something in my spirit. Amen. God has given me a gift and I know that I must use it. See, a lot of us, we get stuck in the slavery mentality and we forget to worship God. Guess what? The reason why Joseph was free, even though he was a slave, is because he had a connection with God. Amen. Anybody ever been in church? You begin to worship God and everything that had bothered you, everything that held over you, it just went away. Amen. Because that's what happens when you're in the presence of God. That's what happens when you are in the presence of God. All the distractions can move because in God's presence, none of that dwells there. Right? Distractions are not in the presence of God. The only thing that's in the presence of God is His peace. As we sing, His joy, His love. So Joseph, in order to get past this being a slave, he had to keep his eyes stayed on Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter 39, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Okay. The Lord was with Joseph. You guys catch that? In his slavery, the Lord was with him. All right. So when you're going through your job and you're going through different things, if you are connected with God, know that He is with you. This is important, because if Joseph felt like God wasn't with him, he would have went a whole nother way. But you have to understand God's plan for your life. And let me be clear. There are going to be parts of the plan in your life that you will not understand, right? That's called faith. You're still going to have to trust God, even though I don't understand how this plan is going to work, right? We're praying for your children to get saved. I'm praying for my brothers to get saved. I don't understand how it's going to work, but I trust that God is going to do it. That's faith. Amen. Because if you're leaning on your own understanding, see, that's the problem. A lot of church people that have been in this thing for a long time, they want to lean on their own understanding. I've been in church for 50 years and I think I got it. Guess what? God is still trying to get you to stop leaning on your own understanding and trusting His plan. Amen. And it's very important. So let's go to verse 2 again. It says, the Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man. But what was he? He was a successful slave. You catch that? Because some people just look at, oh, he's successful now. Guess what? He's still a slave. He's still facing bondage, but guess what? You can be successful in the midst of bondage if God is with you. The Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. So trials, tribulations, so distress, none of those things, because God is with you. All right? So when God is with you, he changes the whole atmosphere. Amen? This is why people that are locked down in prison, when they really connect with Jesus, they don't feel like they're in prison anymore. Right? And some of them may never come back out. But that relationship with Christ has set them free. Because a lot of people, they're locked in physical bars, but spiritually there's bars that are holding them back. And if you are in spiritual bondage, guess what? The only thing that can set you free is Jesus Christ. Amen? It says in verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. All right. Now, this is powerful, because a lot of times, sometimes we're trying to figure out, God, are you with me? But the people that are around you, they see God in you. You guys ever seen that? People that are around you, they know, they won't mess with you because they know God's with you. Other people, they'll mess with you because they know God's with you. Right. The enemy will mess with you only because he knows God is with you. You guys ever think about the story of Job? When Job was tested, The devil could have tested any and everybody else. But he went after Job because he was trying to disprove Job's loyalty to God. All right? It's very important that we understand this. If you are in bondage, the devil's not going to mess with you. He's glad that you're in bondage. If you're on your way to hell, he don't need to stop you. He's not going to stop you, right? But when you have a relationship with God, that's when the enemy will come to fight you. The Bible says the enemy does not come to do anything but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Amen. So he says, and his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. All right. God is continually to allow Joseph to have success. It says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer. Okay, so look, Joseph did not come in here running things. But remember these dreams that he had. So, see, this is the thing. God has given us dreams sometimes. And a lot of times the dream that God gives to you, or even the purpose that God gives to you, is going to face adversity. But as you continue to say, okay, God, I remember that you showed me that. God, you showed me that for a reason. Why did you show me that? Oh, okay, so I can continue when times get hard. I can continue to trust you, God, because you showed me this. God, you opened my eyes to things I didn't even notice, and I will continue to trust you. So guess what? Joseph, with a good spirit, served. Amen? And this is not a sermon for you to just have to serve the pastor. That's not what we're saying. I'm not on that kind of stuff. None of us are on that. What we are on is you serve God, and in all things, everything that you do, it says, do it unto the Lord. Amen? Not unto people. I've done that before. You trying to please man, you're never going to be happy because they're never happy, right? I remember when I was first serving as a youth minister, and we had some things go on in the church. We had to do like a, what was it? We had to clean the church. And there was nobody there but a couple of people. And I was frustrated. I'm like, man, these people knew we were cleaning up, right? They knew it was the day to clean up. And as we were cleaning up, man, I just started praying because I was mad. I was like, man, I have to do all of this because these people didn't want to come and help do their part. But then God said, you're not doing this for anybody else. You're doing this for me. And that opened my eyes to say, okay, it doesn't matter about anybody else. If nobody else shows up, if people don't show up, that doesn't mean I change the way I serve God. Amen? If we're waiting on people to serve God, you're going to be in a big problem. This will be a huge problem. So you serve God no matter what. And Joseph served God in his slavery, in a confusion that he's like, oh my God, he's probably still tripping like, man, I can't believe this happened. My brother sold me and now I'm in Egypt and I'm a slave. Right? Joseph was human. Was Joseph a superhuman? The Bible says all men are the same. Right? God, there's no respecter of persons with God. So he was just like us. He probably had questions like, God, what am I doing here serving this Potiphar who's not a believer? But he did it unto the Lord. Amen. It says, so he served him. And then so Joseph found favor in his sight in verse 4 and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, Joseph, I don't know if it just happened right there, but it said now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Okay? So Joseph pretty much went from the bottom to the top. Right? He was a slave. Now he's still serving Potiphar, but he runs everything. Potiphar doesn't even know what he has because Joseph was so great at making sure he continued to prosper. Potiphar didn't bother him. Anybody ever had a job position where you were micromanaged? Right? Oh, we just got to make sure. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, make sure you're doing this. Like, nobody wants to be in that position. When you have the, that's why some of us are self-employed now, right? Because I don't need anybody to tell me what to do, right? Now, I will say the best work is when you are under somebody and they trust you. Really what micromanagement means is they don't trust you, right? Joseph was not micromanaged because he was trusted, okay? So we see now Joseph's dreams are starting to happen. He's like, whoa, okay, man, I was here. Now God has elevated me because this man sees God in me. Amen. When we are elevated, they need to see the God in us. Check it out. If you're fired, it should be because the God that's in you. And when God is in you, and let's be clear, Christians, because some Christians go to work and just start preaching, right, just to get fired. That's not what you're supposed to do. There's a time for that. The Bible says there's a time and season for all things. If you're going to preach, preach on lunch, right? Don't preach when you're supposed to be on the phone talking to people. You still have to serve whoever you're serving, right? But if you are fired for doing a good thing, for worshiping God, for praising God, glory to God, right? Because guess what? If God closes that door, what does he do? He opens another door. There was a door that was shut in Joseph's life because he continued to serve God. A lot of people, they keep on going in the same place, the same position. And they get frustrated. And they're like, man, why am I here? I said, until you learn what God is here, is trying to show you there, you will not get to the next place. I believe Joseph learned that if I continue to just worship God, if I continue to press into God, he's going to bless me. And he saw that happen. Amen. Verse 7 says, and it came to pass after these things. Right. Here's the test. When you understand God's plan, you're going to see the mountains and you're going to see the valleys. Right. All right. So here come a valley. I'm just getting you ready. We're going down that roller coaster. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. All right. That's funny how they spell lie in there. Right. It's an L-I-E. Like, yeah, lie. You're going to lie. It's going to be two lies. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Joseph is even telling her that he's better than her. Right? See, we don't even look at it like that, but that's what it is. But then it says, nor has he kept anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then, let's pay attention to these words. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against, he didn't say Potiphar, right? This is powerful. He didn't say Potiphar. Why? Because this is the God that is in Joseph. I'm not sinning against, like, Potiphar. I'm not even worried about Potiphar. I'm worried about God. If I'm in wrong position, I mean, this is how we got to be. If I'm in wrong position with my God, it's going to be a problem, not on Potiphar, but on me. So Joseph is saying, look, I've been blessed. God has took me from this place to that place. But this trial comes and he answers this trial by saying, my loyalty is to God. In understanding God's plan for your life, your loyalty always has to be unto the Lord. When it's not, that's when it doesn't matter what your situation looks like. Right? We all have had situations where our loyalty to God is going to be tested. As we walk with the Lord, that happens constantly. But we must maintain our loyalty to God. Even if we've messed up, we say, God, help me get right back in the place where I need to be so I can remain loyal with you. Amen? And this is what Joseph does. He doesn't fight anything but his loyalty. He fights against things that are trying to keep him from being loyal to God. Verse 10 says, so it was as he spoke to Joseph day by day. Right? I always tell people, this is where desperate housewives came from. right? Because they just tempting people. This lady just constantly tempting over and over, day by day. Man, just imagine, Joseph's like, golly, here she come again. I'm just trying to walk the cattle today, and here she come, right? But his loyalty was being tested. It says, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, right? And none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. All right, now it's important. There's going to be times in your life where you have to get away. Get away, as my mom said. You have to leave. Sometimes, like, there's when we're at certain places, and this is the great thing about God. God will even allow you to feel his presence telling you to leave. Right? We've done a lot of club ministry. I even be out here at night. There's certain times where I feel in my spirit that it's time to go. Why? Because the presence of God is saying, let's go. Something is not right. Right? And I'm pretty sure this is what happened with Joseph. He just took off. He didn't even wait for her. Did Joseph know all the men were gone? Probably not. Right? But he's like, man, I got to get away from her. His loyalty for God was stronger than his lust desires. Amen? And we got to be real. Come on, man. Like, I'm pretty sure Potiphar's wife was not ugly. Right? Right? She was probably pulling out all the outfits, all the stops, all the shoes, all the garments just to get his eye. Right? She's casting eyes on him. She's all over this guy. Everywhere he turned. But guess what? His loyalty for God was stronger than a lust. And Joseph didn't have a wife at this time. It doesn't say he had a wife, right? But his desire to please God led him. And it caused him to run away. Amen? And it says in verse 13, and so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. All right. Now she's attacking the what in him now? The God in him. The Hebrew. She's not even going on Joseph, because I'm pretty sure these dudes knew that she was tripping over Joseph. Right. She says they brought a Hebrew in here to mock us. Why? Why does she say these things? Because she's attacking the God that the Hebrews serve. Is this the first time they even talked about Hebrew? I don't even know if before this there was a Hebrew in the Bible. That's pretty interesting, right? Because they just became, Jacob is Joseph's father, and he was Israel. So this is the first time we see Hebrews. It says, he came to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she lied by herself, right? So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you have brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the what? The prison. A place. Now he didn't put him in any prison. This is powerful too. Because he could have put Joseph in any kind of prison. But it says he put him in a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. Now, why do I say that? Because it's important to know that even when things go wrong to you for doing the right thing, God is just setting you up. Amen? See, him being placed in this other position, in this prison where the king's men went, this was so that he can be elevated to where God wanted him to get to. It's powerful. We don't catch that, though. If we just read this scripture and we go home and leave, we would just say, man, that was cold. He did the right thing, right? Why'd he end up going to jail for doing the right thing? Because God had a purpose for him being there, right? But we don't look at that. We want to look at, oh, every time I do something, God's going to bless me. Guess what? Sometimes God's blessings come with disguises. Amen? Because he wants to see where your loyalty is. So it says, verse 21, but the Lord, somebody say the Lord, was with Joseph. Where? He's in prison. God was with him when he was a slave. Now God is with him while he's in prison, right? But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy. And then what did God do? He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, all right? And here it goes again. Why did he receive favor? Because Joseph was well-behaved, right? When you go to prison and people are tripping, you're not getting the perks, right? But Joseph was well-behaved because he said, look, I didn't do nothing wrong, but while I'm here, let me serve God. How can I serve God while I'm in prison? And it says, and the keeper of prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. So we see this happening again because the Lord was with him. Somebody say the Lord is with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. All right. Now it's important to see that God is constantly staying with Joseph in what we would consider a tough time. But even in his tough time, because Joseph's attitude didn't stink, right? God elevated him. I am guilty of going to a valley and my attitude stinks, right? When you're going through it, it's like, man, God, come on. We talk to God like, God, what are you doing? I mean, God, if it would have been great if I could have stayed at the top of the hill, why am I down here, Lord? Right? And some of us, we pray those things. But then God has to bring us back to our senses and we say, okay, God, let me serve you while I'm here. Let me trust you while I'm here. Let me not look to my own understanding. Let me look to your understanding. Let me trust in you. You put me here for a reason, right? The Bible says, what does it say about the righteous? I'm going to get that verse in a second. But the Bible talks about all things, that's what I was going to say, work together, all right? So this prison, him being sold as a slave, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, all right? This is understanding God's plans. All things, everything, all your hurt, all your pain, God is going to use that for you to glorify him. Amen? A lot of times the deepest pain that you have felt, God wants to use that to touch somebody else that has been in that same place. Because now you understand what it means, right? That doesn't mean that God would only use that person, but he will use you if you are willing. The Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 40. I'm going to read this chapter and we're going to wrap it up for today. It says, and it came to pass after these things, okay, after him being in prison for a while. And this is another thing. We don't know how long Joseph was in prison. We don't know how long it took, how long he was with Potiphar. All we know is that for both of these positions, it took long enough. He was there long enough to be promoted. That's all we know. Was he with Potiphar for 5, 10 years? We don't know, right? Was he in prison for 5 to 10 years? We don't know. But we do know that he continued to love God and serve God. It says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them into custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged who? Joseph. Why? Because Joseph is in charge here. All right, think about this. A prisoner runs the prison. You guys ever heard of that before? Not really. Not too much. They might have some rank in the prison, but then Joseph ran everything in the king's prison. And it says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Once again, we don't know how long a while is, but they were there. It says, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt who were confined in the prison had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream one night, and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of the Lord's house, saying, what do you look, or why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Okay? But then it says, so Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God. Now, this is important because we remember that Joseph had dreams, right? He didn't fully have the interpretations. All right. We're going back to this gift that God had given him. God gave him the gift of dreams, but also God gave him the gift of interpretations. And when he tried to interpret to his family, he didn't really fully understand what it is. But guess what? As time has went on, God has revealed to him how to use this gift. Okay. And he's clear on where the interpretation comes. It comes from God. I know I've had dreams in my life, and some of them I had no clue what they meant, didn't understand them. Others I did understand. And then as God kept giving them to me, I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do with these dreams, Lord? And God started telling me to call whoever I had seen in my dreams and ask if they needed prayer for whatever situation they were going through. And I've done that. Called them. And some people be like, no, that ain't me. Wasn't me. I was okay. Well, man, I just want to pray for you anyway. Right? And then later on, you find out it was them. But God gives dreams for a reason. And God gives interpretation for his reasons. Amen? So it says, do not interpretations belong to God? In other words, interpretations come from God. He said, tell them to me, please. Why? Because Joseph has God. He realizes that he has God, so he has access to the interpretations. Christians, we have to realize that we have God, so no matter what we're going through, he has given us power and authority in those situations. Amen? He's given us insight. When people at your job are frustrated, when people that you contact are frustrated, guess what? Access the power that God has given you. Amen? God, know that God is with you, so you can move on God's behalf, and he will move. Amen? It says this, then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was there before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was, though it budded, its blossoms shot forth and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said, this is the interpretation of it. Now, how long did it take? We don't know, right? That's the thing about the Bible. We just see the next verse, he got the interpretation. Maybe it took a while. Maybe God gave it to him right away. We don't know. It says, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will be put and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me, okay? when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Okay? For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that I should be put into the dungeon, or that they should put me into the dungeon. Okay? All right, now this is important. Joseph still knows that he's there wrongfully. Right? And I'm going to say this. There's many times where we are going to do something for somebody and they're going to forget about you. Right? Because their problem is gone. Some people only call on other people when they have problems. When their problem's gone, you're not going to hear from them. Okay? Let's see what it says after that. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, right? He's like, man, He said to Joseph, I also had a dream, and he's probably excited, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered him and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Okay. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but what? Forgot him. Okay? Now, it's important that we see this, because what it shows Joseph, guess what this shows Joseph? Man, God, I was able to use this gift that you gave me. Right? So even in the midst of this thing that goes on, Joseph sees that God said in 3 days, something's going to happen. In 3 days, he sees these people leave. And I'm pretty sure they probably could hear what was going on. Right? But Joseph sees God beginning to continually unravel the plan that he has for Joseph. Amen? By using his gift that God has given him. But it took Joseph getting into that prison, into that specific situation. And look, I'm not telling you to go to jail, okay? I'm not telling you that. But there's places that God has to place you, and you have to be ready for when the opportunity comes for you to be elevated. Right? This is why we should not be hesitant to use the gifts of God. The Bible says a gift will make room for you. I guarantee you the gifts of God will make better room for you than a gift of a world. Amen? Because how many of you know when you can speak into somebody's life? I remember there was a lady when we were doing street ministry in the daytime, and she just kept saying she was crazy. She had to take her medicine, and I said, you're not crazy. The Spirit of God told me to tell her this. I didn't tell her to stop taking her medicine, but the Spirit of God told me to tell her, you're not crazy. And I said, the Word of God told me, the Spirit told me to tell her that you feel like you're crazy because your dad told you that your whole life. And she just starts crying because she had been told she was crazy her whole life. So now she's walking in her craziness, right? But as we prayed, that began to be removed from her. Amen. But we had to access the spiritual gifts. And we're downtown on Pike Place or right before the mall. But we're in front of everybody. And this lady crying and we're praying for her. Why? Because we wanted to see God move. And we prayed even before we got there. God use us today in a mighty way. The lady, we gave her Chase's number and she was able to pray with Chase. And she was continuing to get better. Thank God. But sometimes it takes that word. She will never forget that moment for the rest of her life. She might forget who I was, right? But when they get into another jam, They're going to be like, oh man, hey, I had this person show up in my life when I needed help. And that's what's going to happen with Joseph, because he's activating the gift that God has given him in the midst of the prison. Amen. I want to tell you to activate what God has given you. If you don't know what he's given you, you continually pray, God, reveal to me what you've blessed me with so I can walk in the plan that you have for me, dear God, and help me understand your plan. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, dear God, for your word today. I thank you, dear God, that your word is yet alive and it is living, dear God, and active, oh God. And even through the story of Joseph, we can see us, oh God. We can see sometimes we are going up and we're going down, but God, help us to continually to serve you. Help us to continue to trust you, to love you more, dear God, every day. Dear God, I pray to God that you would just remove anything that is not like you in us, oh God, so that we can walk forth in the purpose and the destiny that you've given us. God, I thank you, dear God, for this word. I pray to God that as it goes forth, dear God, that you would encourage believers to continue to walk forward in you, even encourage non-believers to come into the family. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.